Today, I just want to continue really with the message that I started on Christmas Day. The message of great joy and excitement that was proclaimed by the angels. And to continue on what is the real meaning of Christmas and our celebration of that day when the angels announced not just a baby in the manger, but the birth of a Savior. And that Savior will bring you great joy and peace. And I want to continue on this theme of great joy and peace that is brought through the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I want us just to remind ourselves again of 3 days ago as I read again here Luke chapter 2 from verse 10. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." Now that's so awesome, the declaration, the announcement of the angel, the good news, that today a Savior is born that will cause great joy, and then heaven erupts with a choir of angels proclaiming peace to the world. So as we come to an end of another year, the end of 2014, once again we find ourselves in a world filled with problems, filled with doubts and worries and fears, from politics to economics, from corruption to crime. Many people walk around either discontent or filled with stress, guilt, or failure. And yet we hear this carol so often that is sung over this time, this festive season. We hear this carol that is sung all over, "Joy to the World." Who knows that song? You know, "Joy to the World," but there is so little of that joy and peace going around as we walk through our streets and we meet people. It is so strange, but this carol we sing these words. I even have the words of the carol that says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sings, and heaven and nature sings. And heaven and nature sings, joy to the world, the Savior reigns." And again, we are reminded of this awesome expression of love and grace and mercy of a Father that pours out His Son so that we may have life. And this Savior that has come is meant to bring great joy and peace. So how can we find this joy and peace in this world? Well, the answer is very simple. 3 days ago, we spoke about it. How do we find this joy and peace? And the answer is simply in the Savior. The answer is found in receiving and accepting this gift that God has given us through His Son. Like the carol goes, "Receiving the King, and let every heart prepare Him a room." So how do we carry this joy and this peace that we can find in Christ? How do we carry this joy and peace in this depressed and fearful world? You know, among all the worries and fears, from the politics to the economy, from crime to corruption, from discontent to strength, to stress and guilt and failure, how do we carry this great joy and peace into 2015 in the midst of the reality of 2014? Now, obviously, 3 days ago, we spoke about the fact that it starts with receiving the gift. The gift that God has given us. Now, who of you were not here on Christmas Day? Anybody that was not here? Well, I have a gift for you, similar than I had on Christmas Day. This is a gift. It is a symbol. It is a representation of the gift that God has given to humanity, to every single person. And every person in this world, their name is written on this gift. Their name is written on Christ as it is. He has come to give Himself for the whole world so that whosoever believes in Him, whoever receives Him, may have eternal life. This is the gift that God has for you. Your name is on it, but in able to receive it, you've got to come and collect it. It is yours, but you have to receive it. You have to, in a sense, collect it. And you do it by faith. That's why John 3:16 is so powerful. It says, God so loved the entire world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. And that's really the receiving of Christ. It is an act of faith from our side. So if you were not here on Christmas Day, I have a gift for you. Anybody can receive it. Whosoever wants it. Who wants it? There we go. You only need to receive it. Now, fortunately, all yours. May God bless you. And we spoke about the fact that there are so many people celebrating the gift, but they never came to receive it. They've heard about it. They even celebrate the day, but they've never received it. And then there's some people that received the gift, but they've never opened it. They know a lot about the wrapping. They know a lot about what is inside. Remember what is inside? The chocolates. And they can tell you all about the wrapping, and they can tell you all about the chocolate, but they've never ate. They've never tasted the chocolate. And God is really inviting us again, not just to celebrate the gift, but to receive the gift, to open the gift, and to taste it, to live by it. Because in that, we find the purpose of the gift. The purpose is not the wrapping. The purpose is not knowing about the content. The purpose is eating it, tasting it, living it, experiencing God, inviting him into your life, and making him King and Lord of your life, so that you can experience this life of abundance that he wants to bless us with. But it is in the eating. The proof is literally in the pudding. You got to eat it. And that is where you find life. So yes, I find that even Christians, chocolate eaters, succumb to fear and stress. In this world that we live in, even though we have received Christ, even though we've come to know him, it is so interesting that from time to time, we become vulnerable to the circumstances and the fears and the worries of this world. And before we know it, if we are not careful, the joy and the peace that we have in Christ withers away. It almost gets replaced by, it's like you have this joy of the Lord within you, the excitement of being saved and knowing the King, and the peace that you have knowing that he loves you, that he cares for you, that everything is going to be fine. And then we live in this world where circumstances turns against us, and there's stress and fear and worry and lots of newspapers and news articles and comments and views. And before we know it, this joy and this peace withers away, and it is being replaced by the worry and the fear of this world, and the uncertainty and the unknown. So, as I was preparing, I believe God was speaking to us today, and especially for everyone here today, how to prepare ourselves for 2015. As we say goodbye to 2014 and the realities and the circumstances and all the fears and the worries and the stress that might or might not have happened, but the reality preparing us, as I was praying, Lord, what shall I share? As we say goodbye and we prepare ourselves, the word that the Lord laid on my heart was simply this, that my joy and my peace may remain. That it may remain throughout the next. For some, it is to end a season of pain and sorrow. 2014 might have been difficult to you. It might have been full of loss and sorrow and pain and disappointment. But God wants to end a season and usher in a new one. A one where his joy and peace will remain. It will not wither again. It will not go away, but it will remain. For some here today, it is to set you free from the shame and the guilt of 2014. Because I believe there's some of us here today that you walk away as you think about 2014, you think about the failure, maybe the sin, maybe the disappointment, but with you the shame and the guilt of what 2014 was. And for others, simply to be delivered from the stress and even the depression that you faced, that you battled with in 2014, that stress, that fear, that depression, that eroded your joy and your peace. And you were consumed by a worry and a stress and even a depression of what the life and the future might bring. And God is speaking to you today and He's saying, I have a future for you. And that is not to cause harm, but to give you hope. So God is speaking to you and for some of us simply to prepare us for the coming year. To prepare us for change and maybe for challenges that you are still going to face. And God is saying, I know what is going to happen, but I want to prepare you that when you face these changes, when you face the storms and the winds, that your joy and your peace will remain. It's almost like, you know, Pastor Mario, I think, shared a couple of Sundays ago about Jesus speaking to Peter. When Jesus confronted Peter about his loyalty, and Peter said, but Lord, I will die with you. I will die for you. And Jesus prayed over Peter and He said, you know, Peter, I know what's going to happen. I know the devil is coming and he's going to put you on a tremendous stress. He's going to put you on a tremendous pressure and you are actually going to fail. You're actually going to fold. You're actually going to deny me 3 times. But Peter, I have not prayed that the circumstances will be changed. I've not prayed that the devil will not tempt you. I've not prayed that you will not come into temptation. I've not prayed that you will not be confronted with your faith. Now, what I have prayed is that your faith will remain. And for some of this year, I really believe that God is speaking to you and He says, I want the joy and the peace that you have right now. I want it to remain even when the change and the challenges come, that your joy and your peace may remain. So it's in this context that I want to share with you. Because everybody here today, God has already established your joy and your peace. It's already there. It is found in His Son. It is found in that gift that He has given you of His Son. It is in your Savior. It is in the Lord. It is in that gift, that chocolate. It's in it. Your joy, your strength, and your peace is found in God. And I'll come to why this is so important for us to remember. Why it's important for us to remember as we end of a season and we enter into a new one, or as we're preparing for the new one. So today, I can only share one thing. I can only share one key, one principle for lasting joy and peace. And I'm going to try to do 2, but I only have 45 minutes, so here goes. I'm going to start with one of these things because there's just so much that God has shown me that I want to share, but I can only start with 1 or 2. And I want to start with the first one and see if I can get to the second. And I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 4 from verse 4. And it starts very powerfully. It starts with this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Can you say that with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But with every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, there's so many things that God spoke to me, but I'm going to start with the first thing, and that starts right in the beginning in verse 4, so we can go to the next one, which should be verse 4. There we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. How do we carry the joy and the peace of the Savior in our life throughout 2015, throughout 16, 17, 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, the year 3000, we won't live that long, but how do we carry this good news of great joy and peace that we have found in Christ? How do we carry it through the world that we live in with all its fear and disappointment and sin and pain and circumstances that turn constantly? How do we carry this joy and peace in us? Well, it starts off with this very powerful statement from the Word of God. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. It's so powerful in all circumstances, including our suffering, our hardships, our uncertainty, our fear. We as God's people, we must learn to rejoice in the Lord always. You see, we need to find our joy in the Lord and not in the circumstances and the other stuff around us. We must find our joy in God. Not in stuff, not in security, not in money, not in circumstances, but we must find our joy in Him. There are so many things and circumstances that can steal our joy, especially in our hearts and minds. There are just so many things that happens in this world that can so easily, and we know it so well, our events and people and failure and disappointment can steal from us the joy and the peace that God has established for us. There are many things that can cause this fear and stress that can distract us from this place of joy and peace. And we sometimes find our joy in our security and our circumstances. We sometimes find our peace in our security and in our circumstances. Many of us, we are at peace when we have security, job security, a good bank balance, maybe a great pension, maybe a good investment. You know, many times we find our peace in stuff around us, in stuff in the world. We find our joy in using that. And that in itself is not wrong, but God and the Word of God clearly makes it plain to us that we shouldn't find our joy and our peace in the world primarily, but we should find our joy and peace in Him. And that's why He says, rejoice in the Lord. Not in your security or in your circumstances or in your relationships, but in the Lord. And the reason why, I'll get to that. So how do we rejoice in Him? There's a reason why we must, but I'll get to that. But first I want to start off when God says, but you must rejoice in Me. What does that mean? What does it mean when God says, rejoice in Me, not in your security, not in your circumstances, not in the stuff around you, but in Me, always, in all situations? In Me. Well, it simply means by recalling God's goodness, His faithfulness, His nearness, and His promise. It's putting your faith in God, but also remembering and bringing back to your mind, to your soul, to remind yourself of what He has done for you. It is reminding yourself of His goodness, of His salvation, of His forgiveness, of His mercy, of His grace, of His blessings, of what He has given you, what He has saved you from, and what He has saved you unto. What is the reality of salvation and His relationship in your life? That is how we find our joy in Him, when we recount, when we remember, when we bring to the forefront of our minds and our souls what God has done for us, who He is, and what He has given, and what we have received. It is to be thankful for what we have in Christ. It's a very short instruction if you think about it. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's also very interesting that this instruction is repeated twice. It says, listen here, you must find your joy in the Lord. You must find your peace in Him and who He is and what He has done for you. And you must do it always. And I repeat, rejoice. It's repeated. It's interesting. Why? Why do you think is that? Why does God repeat this instruction? Well, I think it's because we tend to forget this so easily, especially in the midst of dealing with difficult people and upsetting problems in life. You know, it's easy to be in that place when everything goes according to plan, but as soon as things go wrong, as soon as circumstances turn against us and people hurt us, you know what? It is so difficult to remain in this place of joy and peace. As we have to deal with the pain and the resentment and the fear and the stress and the worry, and then, you know, squin ma and squin pa and women tani, you know how they do it. You know, you have a pain in your back, and then they say, oh, yes, I had one like that, and I know my tani, and she had an operation, and they had an operation, and then the operation failed, and then he was paralyzed. You know what people do. They don't tell you, hey, man, don't worry, God is with you. They tend to tell you all the things that can go wrong in life, and before we know it. So we tend to forget this one thing in the midst of dealing with difficult people and upsetting problems of life. And I think that is why Paul says, rejoice always. He says he's not talking about having a positive attitude. It's not being positive. It's about finding your joy in who God is and what He has done and what He has promised. It's not about having a positive mental attitude. It's not about putting on a happy face or to look for the silver lining. It is rejoicing in Him. It is a mind not based on outward circumstances, but it's actually a mind focused on who God is. And this is so crucial because very often our circumstances change. And our circumstances can become very depressing. And that's why it's so important that we must find our joy and peace in God and not in our circumstances, not in our security, not in our investments, not in our pension, not in our relationships. Because you know what? All these things can change. And as we know, many of these things can actually change for the worst. So we must find our joy not in these things. God is saying, find your joy and your peace in me. You know why? Because circumstances change and God never changes. So you know what? If you have found your joy in God, it will never change. But if you find your joy and your peace in your circumstances, in your security, that joy and peace is vulnerable. But if it's found in the Lord does not change. It's vulnerable because circumstances change. It is secure because God never changes. So that's why one of the first keys to find that joy and peace that will continue throughout your life, one of the first keys is to find your joy and peace, not in your circumstances, but in Him. You know, it's interesting. Who of you know where was Paul when he wrote these words? He wrote this letter to the Philippians. Yeah, somebody's showing me. He was in chains. He was in house arrest, guarded by elite guard, chained to a Roman soldier. He was not in prison as such. He was under house arrest, but he was guarded by the Navy SEALs of the Roman Empire. And he was chained to probably a big guy like Aubrey at the back. Aubrey, why don't you just stand and wave? That's what I call a big man. And he was awaiting trial. And this trial would determine his life. And there was no hope of escape. As a matter of fact. And you know what? In the midst of this circumstance of being chained to a Roman guard, Paul wrote these things. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you think about it, you know, it's not as if Paul enjoyed this circumstances or the prospect of the future, or the company. But Paul was able to find his joy, not in his circumstances, not in the future or the prospects, but in who God is. So he writes these things from a perspective that we might think, listen here, this is a man that pursued God, and what is the result of all his effort and commitment? He's in chains. And yet, in the midst of this place, Paul writes this thing. Because you know what? Paul found something that did not change. And Paul's life, if you read the story, is a great adventure of constant change and trouble and tribulation. I mean, Paul doesn't have a life of exciting breakthrough and great blessing and prosperity. Yes, there was in his ministry as he ministered to people, but in the natural, when you look at his circumstances from a worldly perspective, this guy was beaten, stoned, whipped, persecuted for doing what he believed God called him to. And yet in the midst of it all, he found his joy and peace in the Lord and not in his circumstances. And therefore he writes to this church and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Because I found something that does not change. So I want to give you a bit of homework as a practical way to apply this message. Somewhere in between now and the 1st of January, when so many of us think about our New Year's resolutions, we think about the past and what didn't work, and we plan for the future, and we set ourselves goals. And most of these New Year resolutions is filled with hope and expectation that we plan and we aim for. I want to give you some homework in this process of thinking about the next year and the one past and the one coming and planning for the future. Won't you write down all the things that you can be thankful for in Christ? As you plan the future, won't you write down all the things that you can rejoice in the Lord? What are the things that you can be thankful for? I mean, I thought through this. The fact that God loves me. When I think of 2015 and I think of the circumstances and I think of the storms and the challenges and the winds and the opportunities and the blessings and everything out there, when I have to think about the future, I start off with rejoicing in the Lord. The fact that God loves me. The fact that I have a Savior. The fact that my sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. And that I can come to God without fear. When I think about the future, I think God loves me. I have a Savior. He's given His Son for me. The blood of Christ cleanses me of all my sin. I can come to God without fear. And I know that He hears me. I know that He hears me when I speak to Him, and that He will never leave nor forsake me. I'm never alone. The Holy Spirit leads me. I've got the Word of God that guides me. When I die, I know where I'm going. I've started with nothing, and God has blessed me with everything that I have. He cares for me. I have a Father. I have a destiny. I have an identity. You see, when I start by rejoicing in God, something happens in me, in my heart, in my mind, when I start rejoicing in the Lord, in what He is, and what He has done, and what He has promised. When I start the future with rejoicing in Him, something happens in my heart, in my mind. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. That what I rejoice in will never change. The fact that God loves me, the fact that I have a Savior, the fact that I'm forgiven through the blood of Christ, the fact that I know that He cares for me, that He hears me, that He guides me. You know what? That does not change. It doesn't matter what happens in the future. That does not change. It never changes. So I can always rejoice in all circumstances because God doesn't change. What He has done for me doesn't change. His Son died for me 2,000 years ago. And I still have access to that same forgiveness. It never changes. And I can rejoice in that. And the moment I do this, my focus is moved away from my circumstances. See, the moment I start to rejoice in who God is and what He has done and what He has promised, my focus in my heart and my mind is moved from the circumstances, the uncertainty, the stress, the worry, all these things. It's moved away to God. And then it brings me to the second key. In verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Can I say that? Can you say that with me? Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, it's so powerful, make your requests known to God. It's so powerful that in the midst of this, it makes this powerful statement that we must rejoice in the Lord always. And then he continues that he says, do not be afraid of anything, but in every situation, come to God with prayer and petition. Come to your Father, but come to him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Present your request to God. You see, that thanksgiving is closely related to rejoicing in the Lord. And I think this is very important in every situation. In every situation when we call to God, because so many times if we are honest with ourselves, the times when we really desperately call out to God is when circumstances is really bad, when it turns against us. Then is when we call out to God the loudest. And God says, please come to me. Come to me. Make known your request. Come to me with your fears and your anxiety and your worry and your concern. Come to me. I'm your Father. Come to me. But this is so powerful. Paul says, do this with thanksgiving. Because something powerful happens. I think it's very important in every situation, especially when we face fear, uncertainty, and even when we stress and are depressed, when we call out to God in prayer and petition, we as humans, we tend to focus on the cause of our fear and stress. When we're faced with situations and uncertainties, even in our prayer, we tend to focus on the cause of the problem. God, I lost my job. What am I going to eat? How am I going to provide? Lord, that person is so deliberately nasty, hurt me by the things that they said. This person is so mean. Lord, deliver me from the person. Lord, my car is broken. How am I going to make a living? How am I going to get the kids to school? Lord, how am I going to do this? You know what? As humans, even in our prayer, when circumstances are against us, we tend to focus more on the cause of the problem than on the solution of the problem. And so Paul says, listen here, when you come to God with your concerns and your fears and your petitions and your prayers, come to God with thanksgiving. Start to thank God. Because the moment we start to thank God, the moment we bring thanksgiving into our prayers and our petitions, you know what happens? If you start to thank God, you cannot but move the focus from the cause and the reality of the circumstances to who God is. Something happens in our minds, in our hearts, when we look at our circumstances, and before we panic, because this is what we do, we focus so much on the cause of our problems that these things become so big, so powerful, so huge, so unattainable, that our joy and our peace disappears and depression comes in. Instead of before we go there, first look to who God is and thank Him for who He is and thank Him for what He has already done. So when I come to God, I can boldly say, God, you are awesome. I mean, isn't it powerful that Psalms, we know it so well, 100 verse 4 to 5 says something so powerful. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. So when you enter into God's presence with your circumstances, it's not ignoring them, but when you enter to God, enter to Him with thanksgiving and praise. Say, but God, you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. Your faithfulness from generations to generations. God, I want to thank you that you love me, that you are my Savior, that I have forgiveness of sins through the blood, that I can come to you without fear, knowing that you hear me, that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that I'm never alone. God, I want to thank you that I'm alive, that I'm healthy, God, that I have a wife who loves me. I've got two beautiful daughters. Lord, I live in a house. I have one car. I've got two mountain bikes. I'm part of a great church. I have many Christian friends. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. So now, Father, about this car that is broken. Or the fact that I was fired yesterday. You see the difference. The moment you start focusing on who God is, there's something that happens in our minds, in our hearts. And that's what Philippians says. It says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rule, God, live in your heart and your minds. Isn't that powerful? So one of the keys of having this joy and this excitement and this peace that has come with Christ, one of the keys to have this joy and this excitement and this peace remain. Remain in your life, no matter what the circumstances, is to rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. In every situation, come to God with thanksgiving, making your request known to Him. Something powerful happens. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. It becomes your strength. And you know what's so powerful? If we go back to the beginning, can we go back to the beginning of Philippians 4, verse 4? There we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. The peace will come into your heart. And your gentleness will be evident to all. People will see that you have a joy and a peace that does not change, no matter what the circumstances. And that comes to so many other things, but people will ask you, what is this joy that you have? Aren't you afraid? Aren't you stressed about the doctor's report, the accountant's report, the boss's opinion of you? Aren't you afraid? And then we can boldly say, no. Because God is my source. God is the one who loves me. God is the one who hears me, that cares for me, that provides for me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. And that joy of the Lord becomes our strength and not our security, not our circumstances. Now, if the joy and your strength is in God, then your peace will also be in God. If your joy and your strength is in God, then your peace will always be in God. And your peace and God, let's put it this way, if your joy and your strength is in God, your peace will be in God. And God does not change. What does that say about your peace? It will never change either. So I want to encourage you for 2015. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in Him, what He has done for you, what He has promised you. And your joy and your strength will not just continue, but your peace will never fail. Let us stand. God, we want to thank You. God, we want to come to You with thanksgiving. We want to bless Your name. For You are a good God. Your mercy and Your faithfulness endures forever. God, You do not change. Lord, You've given us Your Son so that we can have life. We have redemption, but we have a relationship. We have access to You, and You are the source of life. That in Christ, everything that we need for life and godliness, we have access to. And You send Your Son so that we may have peace, so that we do not have to be afraid, that we may know that we are secure in You. Peace with You, peace within ourselves, towards others, and peace within us. Thank You, God, that we can find lasting joy and peace in You. Thank You, God, for everything that You've done for us. Thank You for everything that You've done for me. And God, I believe you are saying to us, you are saying to us, God eternal, all-powerful, almighty God that knows all things, that can do all things, that sees the beginning from the end. You say you're the Alpha and the beginning and the Omega. Lord, you span the universe, Lord. You are outside of time, Lord. There's nothing impossible for you. You are saying to us today, here, now, do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, come to me with thanksgiving. And my peace, the peace that I give, not the peace that the world gives, my peace that does not change, will guard your heart and your mind. So come to me. While all the eyes are closed, I really believe God is speaking to people here today. If you are anxious about 2015, if you are stressed about what the future might bring, or maybe even you're depressed, God is speaking to you today. He says, come to me. Rejoice in me. Not in the uncertainty, but in the certainty of who I am. And if you are here today and there are things in your heart and your mind that worries, that stresses, that depresses about the future, about 2015, the uncertainty and the fear. If you are here, I just want you to respond to God by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I'm afraid. I'm uncertain, Lord. There's worry and there's fear in my heart, Lord. But I want to respond to you. Call me today. By just raising your hand, thank you for those hands. But I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I am afraid. But you say, I must not be anxious about anything. You say, I must come to you with thanksgiving, God. So I want to come to you with my fear, Lord. I want to come to you with my uncertainty. Lord, I want to come to you with the bad reports. Lord, I want to come to you with the hurt and the offense and the depression, Lord. I just want to come to you because you say, I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't be anxious. Lord, I want to come to you today. Maybe you are thinking, Andres, you do not know how much I have messed up. You don't know how much I have wronged. You don't know the mess I'm in. You don't know the shame and the guilt. Well, I believe God is saying to you, and I want to read this in 2 Corinthians while your eyes are closed. Therefore, God is saying, come to me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have come to set you free. And if you are here this morning and you want to be free from your past, you want to be free from your guilt, from your mistakes, from your shame, if that is you, just respond to God and say, God, here I am, by raising your hand. Say, God, I want to be free. That is me, God. I want to be new. I want to be free. If that is you, I just want you to respond. Thank you for those hands. I'm just going to give you another moment because I really believe there's somebody here today. You're walking around with shame because of your mistakes, because of your life, because of the sin and the regrets and all those things that you're walking with, and it's eating away your joy. It's eating away your peace. And God is saying, come to me. I want to set you free. I have a gift for you. It is my son. And in him, there is life. In him, there is abundance of joy. Life that cannot be contained. It cannot be boxed in. It flows forever and ever. And God is calling you, if that is you, I want you to respond to God by saying, here I am, God. I want this life. I want this gift. So just respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? I want to ask you to do something bold. If that is you, if you've raised your hand, whether it is for the fear or whether it is to be new, I just want you to quickly come forward and we're going to bring these things to God. We're going to bring your heart, your uncertainty, the anxiety in your heart, and we're going to present it to God, and God is going to give you more of Him, a revelation of who He is, what He has done for you. So bring your fear, bring your shame. Just bring it quickly. If you've raised your hand, we want to pray with you. This is something powerful. So give them a hand as they come forward. Let's just pray. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to be refreshed, to be renewed, to get rid of the fear and the anxiety. That what causes you. Deal with it today as God is speaking to you. If you raised your hand, please come forward. This is the opportunity God is speaking to you. And we want to usher in this new season in your life. If you're struggling with depression, we want to pray for you. If you've got depression, come forward. We're going to pray for that. Yes, there's a medical side for that, so we can pray for healing. But we can also pray for deliverance from fear. Because there's something that eats at you. And we want to deal with that. So I want to ask you, if you're struggling with depression, don't be afraid. Come forward. There is an anointing to deal with even depression as a sickness and as a fear. So if that is you, I just want you to quickly come forward. Is there anybody suffering with depression? You don't need to be ashamed of it. Come forward. There we go. God's going to deal with that. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I just want to declare something to you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how often you've done it. It doesn't matter how big your shame. It doesn't matter how big your guilt. God has already given His Son to deal with that once and for all. And all you need to do is to come to Him and to receive that gift. And for some of you, afresh, anew. You know, as Scripture declares, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Today I want to give you an opportunity to deal with that. So we're going to continue with the song. Can I ask the band to come up? If we can sing that song again, He is faithful. So while we're ministering to these precious people, if the facilitators can come and help, while we minister to these precious folk, let us with a thankful heart rejoice in Him. Let us declare He's faithful. And I want to encourage you as you end off 2014, before you plan 2015, take a moment. Take a moment. 15 minutes. And thank God first. Thank Him for who He is. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in His salvation, in the life that He has given you. As you continue to do that, your joy will not only remain, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rule and reign in your heart. Amen? Amen.